The village of Togiak has found itself in hot water this week after using its tribal court to banish a non-tribal member of the community for suspected alcohol bootlegging. The situation raised a number of very important thorny questions very quick, not the least of which was why the man was duct-taped and hauled out to a plane to Dillingham Monday. State authorities all the way up to the governor are aware of the situation, as are federal authorities, including the BIA and the FBI. The banished man is Ronald Ortwick, a 72-year-old. He's been living in Togiak for 3 decades and used to run the River Lodge for the tribal corporation. Lately, he has operated a bed and breakfast near the airport under a lease with the property owner. On Monday at the Grant Terminal in Dillingham, Ortwick did not want to tape an interview until he had spoken with his attorney. He was distraught, he was unsettled, and he left for Anchorage on the evening flight. David Henderson is Ortwick's attorney, who is investigating the situation with the intent of filing a civil lawsuit.
You know, the city of Togiak is a second-class city in the state of Alaska. Mr. Ortwick is a longtime resident of Togiak. He owns a business in Togiak. He runs a business. He has deep roots in that community. He is not a tribal member. You know, he's of German ancestry. And they exercised jurisdiction over him. They put him in a jail. They duct taped his legs together. They dragged him to a plane. You know, they held him without any legal or valid charges for 6 days.
Henderson has not filed suit yet. He's investigating who in the village was involved, but also looking into the state's potential liability for what he claims was failing to protect one of its citizens.
There's either rule of law or there isn't in the state of Alaska. And they were on notice, you know, before I got involved from Mr. Ortwick. He contacted them and said, what do I do? They said, we won't get involved. Then when Mr. Ortwick tried to go back home to where he lives, to his home, you know, he was arrested, and then the state was put on notice the next day again and asked to intervene and make sure, you know, we were told that he was being held unlawfully in a jail with no charges. He was a non-tribal member, and they ignored it. They did nothing.
The story broke in the Alaska Dispatch News Monday night, just as Ortwick flew back to Anchorage. By Tuesday, the village of Togiak was in damage control mode. By coincidence, that same day, the village was welcoming a delegation of top brass from the Alaska State Troopers who were coming in to inspect the facilities to open a new trooper post in the village this summer. Tribal Council President Jimmy Kupchayak was putting the finishing touches on a press release about the banishment of Ron Ortwick.
He first came under the suspicion in January that he was selling alcohol and drugs. So we brought him into our tribal court from observations of our law enforcement officers.
A criminal complaint filed by tribal police officer Leroy Nanaluk says that on January 24th, he was notified by the village public safety officer that a suspicious tote had just arrived on Everett's Air Cargo addressed to Ron Ortwick. Nanaluk wrote that he attempted to locate Ortwick to tell him his tote was being seized. Nanaluk says he obtained a tribal search warrant, and when Ortwick would not respond, he had 2 other tribal members witness as the tote was searched.
He had, like I just showed you, a tote full of 22 bottles of R&R and a stolen shotgun in his possession.
This was in late January. It wasn't until March 27th that Ortwick was brought to a community court, a combination of the tribal court and apparently a jury of tribal members who show up.
The community ruled him guilty for importation of alcohol. It's an Alaska statute, and it's a felony. If you have more than 12, it's a felony under state law.
But Ortwick was never charged under state law, nor would a state prosecutor likely accept evidence collected under these haphazard methods contradicting every citizen's Fourth Amendment rights against improper search and seizure. Kupchayak says the tribal leadership was not concerned about the state criminal charge so much as seeking a more permanent punishment through the tribal court.
Banishment out of the village, because we have to protect our elders, our young children, our future.
The banishment order was handed down on March 27th. Anisha Kritz is one of Togiak Traditional Council's 5 tribal court judges and one of 3 who presided over this case. She says Ortwick was one of 19 suspected drug or alcohol importers who were warned by the court in January that they were at risk of being banished.
When we warned him, we told him that tribal court will not take this case, but the community court will. You know, so it was the community's wishes that he was found guilty from the community, and their wishes were to banish.
The court order blends together tribal code and state statute as it describes the case against Ortwick. The first order is signed by 5 tribal court judges, but says the community members issued the verdict and the banishment order. On the 27th, the day it was handed down, Ortwick got on a plane to Dillingham, willingly, according to the tribe. Then he turned around that same day and flew back to Twin Hills and took an ATV back to Togiak the same night. That ignited a fury in the village.
He came back through Twin Hills, and then someone brought him over here. And the other thing that the community didn't like was he had 2 pistols in his tote, and they were both loaded.
Back in Togiak, Ortwick was detained, by one account for trespassing in violation of the banishment, and another account for his own safety and that of others. Who arrested him at this point is unclear. He was hauled in for a second court hearing on the 29th and banished once again by the community court, with 3 judges signing off. For Anisha Kritz, there is no question that the Togiak Traditional Council was operating within its legal jurisdiction.
Yes, I very much believe that tribe has the sovereignty, and we have the power both with written laws and unwritten laws. And we've told them already, if you want to be the residents of Togiak, you abide by our laws. There's both tribal laws and state laws.
From March 29th till Monday, April 3rd, the tribe says they could not find air transportation for Ortwick to leave Togiak. One carrier did not want to be involved, and another was not flying due to weather. His lawyer says this was a mistake, detaining a 72-year-old diabetic for several days on what may be bogus charges. When he was taken to the airport, Kupchaik says tribal authorities used packing tape to keep him subdued.
He was resisting because it's already been court that he was banished, and he didn't want to leave. It isn't our first choice, but it was a drastic action that we had to do. To protect him, we had to do something.
Where were state authorities in all this? The Togiak tribe is frustrated that the state did not take the bootlegging case originally, nor did they respond when the banished suspect returned to the village. Ortwick's lawyer will argue that the state should have responded to free the man from false imprisonment. The situation went immediately up the chains of command of both the Department of Law and Department of Public Safety, and Governor Bill Walker was made aware. Walker dispatched his rural affairs advisor Jared Godfrey to Togiak Tuesday to get to the bottom of the situation.
The governor's office wants to empower tribes to serve their community most effectively whenever and wherever possible, including through tribal courts. And one of the things the governor's office wants to do is make sure that tribes are exercising their authority within the boundaries of that authority to protect themselves as well as citizens who come in front of the tribes and the tribal courts.
Make no bones about it, the state is as concerned about its potential civil liability as the tribe is or should be. That is why state authorities stayed out of this incident as well as several other recent ones as much as possible. Walker and Byron Malott have been encouraging tribes to exercise their sovereignty and find ways to police their own, but have not provided effective guidance or oversight as Togiak has attempted to do so. Godfrey acknowledges this incident quickly raised a lot of concern.
Whenever anybody is charged with any level of crime, when they're a citizen of Alaska, a citizen of the United States, they're entitled to due process, and that's a constitutional right. And so due process, their civil rights are something that have to be respected and acknowledged throughout the entire justice system.
Other recent incidents have drawn attention. In Togiak in February, 2 women suspected of importing heroin to the village were detained and searched per a tribal court order. According to village officials, one of the women was searched by 2 female judges, one who performed a body cavity search while the other held the woman down. Resisting the intrusive search, the woman bit one of the judges. They turned up a shocking 115 grams of black tar heroin, but the state quickly dismissed the drug case, as well as the added assault charge for the biting. Whether that was due to an unlawful search and seizure or what could arguably have been a sexual assault, the state did not say. In another case, a longtime Manicotic resident named William Delgado was banished in early January. Delgado, a Cuban-American originally from Florida, says he had never been made aware of any charge against him, nor had he attended any hearing or had any chance to defend himself.
I was in my house, and I hear a knock. And when I open the door, he just goes like this. And I said, "What is this?" He goes, "You got to move right now. Get whatever you can get and get in the van and get out of Manicotic right now." I've been living there for 15 years. I got here spring 2002. I'm talking about spring 2002. That's how long I've been watching and what's going on in that village.
For those 15 years, he was together with Manicotic resident Agnes Ceballo. By his account, the two of them had domestic disputes at times, none of which attracted the attention of law enforcement, but she was someone Delgado says he cared for deeply.
More than that, man, I have her tattoo face right here. I loved her. I loved her more than I loved any other woman, but the alcohol killed my love for her.
In a letter provided to Delgado, the Manicotic Tribal Council members say they had received a call from a family member alleging his abuse, that this was in violation of tribal code, and that they had elected to banish him. They bought him a ticket to Florida and wrote in the letter that his property would be mailed to him.
They only listened to her side of the story. Nobody in Manicotic came to me and talked to me like a normal human being. No, they just kicked me out of there like if I was some kind of criminal, man. And I never done nothing there.
However, Delgado did have a criminal record from Florida, including old felony convictions involving theft and drugs. At the same time he was being banished, troopers were in the village to investigate another domestic violence incident. The tribe brought the troopers to Delgado's house and asked that he be arrested for being a felon in possession of firearms. Hauled into court the next day, the state's prosecutor Pamela Dale offered Delgado a deal: plead on a reduced weapons charge and use that plane ticket to leave the state as the tribe had requested.
My offer is he pled guilty to the misdemeanor and the penalty would be forfeiture of all evidence seized and that he gets on that plane and goes to Miami. I don't know if you can actually enforce that, but that's what our intent is that he leave.
He took the deal. He asked that all of his firearms be donated to the state troopers. Forced out of his home in the past 15 years, leaving it all behind, Delgado said he didn't know what was next.
Oh, man. I really don't know. I really don't know, sir. It's all in God's hands. That's all I can say.
What are you going to miss about this place?
Oh, man. Everything. Everything that's good. The lakes. The geese. It's a lot. It's too much to say in words.
The Manicotic Tribal Council refused numerous requests for comment on that case, including why the alleged domestic violence was not reported to state troopers to press criminal charges. The village of Togiak has banished several other people over the past year, including at least two Alaska Natives who are not Togiak tribal members. Jimmy Kupchayak and Anisha Kritz say they don't have other options to keep the alcohol and drugs out of their community.
We are losing a generation of kids, and it is affecting our teenagers. It's affecting our school and our community. And this has to stop.
We have to take action. When we start our court, we always tell them that we're doing this because we care for you. Because we love you. It's not for you to hate, but you probably will. It may be depressing like this. Ron, if he wanted to live here, it's something that we can't ignore, especially with non-tribal members.
But is banishing a legal and legitimate means to oust non-tribal or even tribal members from an area? The governor's representative dispatched to Togiak Tuesday, Jared Godfrey, steered clear of committing an answer to that.
Do you believe that the right to banish tribal and or non-tribal members exists?
I'm going to refrain from answering that.
Do you think it's a settled question?
I'm going to refrain from answering that as well.
Wartwyk's attorney, David Henderson, says they're still investigating and have not filed suit yet, but that they intend to do so.